God. That is what is symbolic of. Amen. How many of you will give a clap offering to the Lord for that? We had one of my aunties, she's a nun. God gave her the grace. It is incredible. God gave her the grace actually to step out for the Lord. Can you imagine that? To step out for the Lord. And she's the one who did this. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. We serve a good God. We saw, hallelujah, God's goodness work upon the lives of so many. What a privilege to obey the word of the Lord. Amen. And this morning we want to look into the word in Song of Songs chapter 4. And verses 1 to 5. Behold, you are fair, my love. Behold, you are fair. You have those eyes behind your veil. Your hair is like a flock of goats going down from Mount Gilead. Your teeth are like a flock of shorn sheep which have come up from the washing, every one of which bears twins, and none is barren among them. Your lips are like a strand of scarlet, and your mouth is lovely. Your temples behind your veil are like a piece of pomegranate. Your neck is like the Tower of David, built for an armory, on which hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. Your two breasts are like two fawns, twins of a gazelle, which feeds among the lilies. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus. 7 points I want to give from that scripture, which he's coming for a church like that, there's a lot of washing and ironing to do, but praise God, he's coming for a church like that. Amen. He has got to do a lot of ironing and washing in your lives, but praise God, he will perfect that which concerns you. And he will bring to completion the good work that he's begun in you. He won't leave you our faith through his very name means Alpha and Omega, which means beginning and end. Which means if he's begun, he will bring it to an end. Amen. Hallelujah. He will perfect and he will bring through. Now there are 7 points which you and me need to fellowship with the Holy Spirit so he can do that work. And one is, what is the eyes of the bride going to be like? The bride of Christ. You have dove's eyes. The eyes of a dove. The eyes of a dove. Look at neighbor and say, the eyes of a dove. But what's so special about it? It speaks about spiritual perception, of the ability to perceive things in the spirit. The eyes of a dove is symbolic of the fact that you should have a singleness of vision. Look at neighbor and say, singleness of vision. A singleness of vision. Can you imagine that? Dove can only look at one thing with his eyes at one time. Let me explain here. In the Gospel of Matthew, it says, the 6th chapter, if your eyes are pure, your whole body is pure. Let's open to that, please. The Gospel of I'll open to Luke's Gospel, the 11th chapter and 34th verse. You will find it in Matthew also. But the Bible says, the lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your whole body is also full of darkness. Remember, it does not say when your eyes are good or your eyes are bad. It says when your eye is good, your whole body is full of light. It means a single is a vision. Single is a vision. When your eye is good. I mean, if you have one eye looking at the Lord, and if you have one eye looking at the world, then you are in big trouble. We don't want to start the new year with that. Amen. You know, this Sunday, one of my cousins, I was speaking with him, so he asked me, I said, do we have a 31st night celebration? I said, this is 31st night, we do have celebration, but not corporate celebration. We don't come together to worship God. Each one of them who's wanting to start the new year with the Lord, starts by himself. He goes into the prayer room, sits with the Lord, worships the Lord, and reads the word, and starts the new year with praise and thanksgiving unto God. And then I told him, that's how it's going to be. Then he said, praise God. I said, why? He said, I can go for the party without feeling guilt. He said, every year when you have those 31st night meetings, I feel so guilty going for a dance that day. Because at one stage, here is a worship night. And he said, praise God, I can go for the dance. Well, my brother, we need to have the singleness of vision. Amen? Are you with me? I was just joking with the last day with a couple of the members in the ministry. I said, this 31st night, I'll be away in Bangalore ministry. So I said, Lord, this 31st night, I want to have x-ray eyes to see what's happening in Cochin. Where is the congregation this 31st night, Lord? Let me see if they're going to hold on to the word, be faithful unto the Lord. Amen. Or do they need always somebody to help them through? Or are they going to be faithful to the Lord? Singleness of vision. Are you with me? Look at your neighbor and say, singleness of vision. Singleness of vision. It means one eye is not looking one side, and the other eye is not looking the other side. It means both eyes are fixed. Would you like that? See, in Hebrews 12 it says, therefore fix your eyes upon Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Fix your eyes upon him. It means fix. Don't let your eyes be loose. Let it be fixed. Are you with me? I mean, you have a car, and just imagine the headlight is loose. In between looks down. When you're driving and jumps a gutter, the headlight falls down, and only you can see the front part of the car. You can't see the road. You will need to stop the car, fix up that light, make sure it's fixed, so the light is straight, and you can see the road straight. The same way, fix your eyes upon Jesus. Don't let it be loose. Don't let it just drop down in the world at sometimes. The best way to feel miserable is to look at yourself. The best way to be scared is to look at the circumstance. But the best way to walk in faith is to look straight ahead at Jesus. No matter what happens, look to Jesus. I saw the Lord before me at all times. In Psalms 34, David said, I saw the Lord before me, not just sometimes, not just on a Friday, just on a Sunday, just not on a one-hour prayer meeting or a one-hour prayer time. I saw the Lord before me at all times. How many of you with me this morning? We need to have singleness of vision. And that's what the first thing, to have a spiritual perception. No matter what the problem is, how many of you know looking at the problem won't solve the problem? But looking to Jesus will bring you out. Are you with me? First thing is, dove's eyes. Spiritual perception. To understand spiritual things. And also the eye to be fixed on Jesus. I was thanking God for the eyes and the lives that the Holy Spirit of God was illuminating this year. Of many. To bring them out of religious bondage. To make them to walk with a relationship with Jesus. Just illuminating the lives of many. To spiritually understand. See, how many of you know that you can speak to somebody, you can share with somebody about Jesus, but he won't understand a single word unless he's illuminated by the Spirit of God. You can speak to somebody about commitment, about faithfulness and all that. He won't understand a single thing. Until he's illuminated by the Spirit of the Lord. So here speaks about people who has got the illumination of the Holy Spirit. They've been illuminated. They have a spiritual understanding. They have a spiritual vision. They perceive things in the Spirit. Are you with me? That's what it means. And how many of you know when you begin to have that kind of spiritual understanding and spiritual perception, it needs to be covered. See, it says the dove's eyes behind your veil. I mean, you don't just expose it before the world. Have you seen a believer just get something from God, a spiritual understanding, a revelation on something from God? He goes and shares it with someone in the world who does not understand anything. You go share with somebody who is worldly, an unbeliever, something that God has been revealing to you from the scriptures. He'll say, oh, the word of God is not important. And there goes your spiritual strength. Why? Because it's not kept. I mean, it's not handled with discretion. Are you with me? How many of you with me this morning? So he speaks about the dove's eyes behind your way. Your hair is like a flock of goats. Amen. Praise God. Hair in the scripture is symbolic of consecration. In the book of Numbers chapter 6, it says there, the vow of a Nazarite was that he would abstain from everything that would defile him in the service of God. So as a sign of his consecration before God, he would have hair, plenty of hair, long hair. It was a sign of his consecration. Now, I was sitting with the Lord this morning and I said, Lord, I want to consecrate life afresh. I don't want to just be half consecrated, half bathed, have other things governing my mind and my life. I want to be completely consecrated. Nothing matters more than you. Consecration, to be set apart for God. To be completely for the Lord. Wholly devoted unto God. That's what it means. Are you with me? Amen. Your hair is like a flock of goats going down from Mount Gilead. Well, hair is symbolic of consecration and is also symbolic of submission. And it speaks about going down from Mount Gilead. Open with me to Isaiah 50 this morning. Isaiah 50. I need you to stir up your life and stay in the anointing to receive this word. The 50th chapter. Pardon me, Jeremiah 50. And the 19th verse. Can somebody read it for me, please? Can somebody read it from NIV?
On Carmel and Bashan. His appetite will be satisfied on the hills of Ephraim and Gilead.
Mount Gilead. His soul shall be satisfied in Mount Gilead. It means a consecration and satisfied in consecration. Some of you consecrate your life because, oh my God, I heard the word. I go for this meeting. I need to consecrate. That's not the way. You're happy that you consecrate your life to Jesus. And that's why it starts with the eye. When your eye is fixed on the Lord, then you're not in two minds. You're not looking to the world and to the Lord. So you're happy with your consecration. Because the more you see the Lord, the more you love Him. And the more you love Him, the more you want to consecrate. And the more you consecrate, the more joyful you become. And your soul is satisfied, happy with your consecration. Are you with me? Happy. Your soul is taking delight in Mount Gilead. That means you are happy with your consecration. How many of you are happy with your consecration to the Lord? I do not know whether you consecrate your life. But there are times when it's tested. The times when that consecration is tested, everything that you offer before God gets tested in time. At that time to say, Lord, I delight in you and I delight in your mercies and to offer my body as a living sacrifice more than anything else. Needs character. It needs integrity. When I was, you know, I thought when I first heard the word of the Lord concerning the call of God, I was so excited. I gave my life to the Lord out of an emotional exuberance. My eyes just was happy. It felt the greatest thing. I did not know about the cost of following the Lord. I was just happy being a believer. How many of you know being a believer doesn't cost you anything, but being a disciple costs you something? Amen. I said, Lord, here I am. Hallelujah. Praise God. People came and spoke to me of Jesus being a good friend. I said, praise God. He's a good friend. Definitely he is. But then he is your Lord. He is your Savior. And he is your God. And I knew I had to count the cost, deny myself daily, take up the cross and follow the Lord. The first 6 months was happy. Can you imagine that? Just plain happy. It felt so good. But then that began to come a test against that. People said, what are you going to do with your life if you consecrate to Jesus? You're missing out so much in the world. What about life? Aren't you responsible? How will you manage your life? You're living in an earth. You need social life. You need people. You need friends. You need people around you. Why you just say Jesus, Jesus, and Jesus alone? Are you crazy? Why do you pray so much? Anybody your age will have a lot of fun. Why don't you just be a normal person? See, all this began to come against that very consecration. In the beginning, I was confused. Because some of the people who were saying that were religious people. Some of those people were people who were saying it, who had a religious background. But I thought that must be right, because it must be because I'm kind of immature. But little did I know that it was a testing that was coming against that consecration. At every opportunity, just say, praise God, hallelujah, I just quit. I just go on with something else. I said, no, Jesus. Please give me the grace. There was definitely times when I was tempted, struggling, when the real pressures came. I said, Lord, just give me the grace. Just give me the grace to stand strong. It speaks about taking delight in consecration. Are you with me? I just sit back sometimes and feel no joy. I say, Lord, while everybody is out there having fun on 31st night, here I am sitting in my room with the Bible. While everybody out there is having their own fun. But then it came to the point where I said, Lord, just give me the grace. How many of you know when you just offer before the Lord, and when you just be true before Him and say, Lord, I can't make it by my own, just have me through, He will. Amen? He will. Consecration. Look at neighbor and say consecration. Are you consecrated? Second thing. Amen? Song of Songs. The second verse. The third thing. There are seven things that are mentioned in the scripture. I don't think we'll have time to go through all the seven in explanation, but let's look through some of them. How many of you are enjoying the word this morning? Did you come to learn the word? Amen. The third thing. And that speaks about your teeth. Does anybody have false teeth here? Well, your teeth are like a flock of shorn sheep which have come up from the washing. Your teeth is what you chew on. Teeth is not what you chew on. Your teeth is used for chewing, for eating. So teeth speaks about the intake of the word of God. That's what you and me are supposed to be eating. Your teeth speaks about eating the word of God. What are you eating this morning? You need to eat on the word of God. Can you just imagine just plain, simple word of God? Get up in the morning, just read through. Just meditate upon. Just read through. Just get the word into your spirit. Just get the word into your heart. You don't have to wait for a revelation knowledge. You just have to pray and just read the word. Are you with me? And it speaks about teeth that have come up from the washing. What does it mean? It means there are no leftovers in your teeth. Some people are walking by last Sunday's meal. Last Sunday you heard the word of God. You ate on it on Sunday evening for your prayer time with God. And the rest of the week you haven't even eaten anything fresh. All the leftovers are there. No washing. Every day morning when you get up, what should you do? Don't eat the leftovers. Take fresh manna that day. Are you with me? Chew on it the whole day. And before going to bed, again wash it. Again chew on some more fresh manna. Fresh word. See, your spiritual strength will be only as strong as your word time. The time you spend with the word. If you're eating just one bowl of rice every day, you might look like me. But if you're eating plenty, then, hallelujah, Rajat, you want to get up and show your muscles? My handsome cousin sitting here, hallelujah, praise God. You will look strong, big, huge. Are you with me? It's the same way spiritually. You get up, take the word, read it through, get it in your spirit, chew on it, meditate on it, wash, again eat, wash, again eat. I love that. I love that. I used to say to the Lord, Lord, make me a strong man of God. You can only be a strong man of God if you're strong in the word. So children are given milk. Are you with me? You don't give them meat. You give them milk. Every day they're looking for milk. When they want milk, they cry. Ah! You give them milk. But then comes a time when if you give them milk, they'll cry. If a girl is going into college and you give her a glass of milk, she will feel so embarrassed. She feels so proud having a cup of coffee and a hamburger. Yes? The same way. Some of you should get embarrassed that you're just drinking milk. Are you with me? 6 years in the Lord and drinking milk. 20 years in the Lord and drinking milk. Come on, praise God. A glass of milk is always good. But just that alone won't keep you healthy. Amen? You can't live on vitamins. Are you with me? Some of you take the daily bread and read it. One chapter. It's vitamins. Vitamins can supplement your food, but it cannot substitute the food intake that you have. You can't just take every day morning, just have a couple of vitamins and go on through that day. You can't. How many of you with me still this morning, please? You need to get up, take food, and then have a couple of vitamins. Look through a daily bread book or something like that. You just need to get up, look through it. So the first one is singleness of purpose, spiritual perception. The second one is consecration, submission, and being glad about it. The third one is having your tea. That means about your intake of food. And when you do that, you will bear twins. Are you with me? That speaks about fruitfulness. And you won't be barren. And then the fourth thing is your lips are like a strand of scarlet. Your lips are like a strand of scarlet. Lips is what you do to express. Speaks about your expression. And your lips are like scarlet. Scarlet in the Bible is symbolic of redemption. When Rahab was in Jericho, the spies came and told her, if you want your family to be saved, put a scarlet cord outside your window. When we see that scarlet robe, we will know that we should attack your home because you belong to the Lord, and we will save your family and your home. It speaks about redemption. It speaks about the blood. It speaks about the redemption that you have in Christ. And also, in Matthew 27, verses 28 and 29, they put a scarlet robe on Jesus. It speaks about authority. If you are the king of Jews, it speaks about authority. So here it's saying, let your lips, your expression, are like a strand of scarlet. It speaks about redemption. And it's got authority in it. Are you with me? Today, this morning, there is hearts, there are hearts that are hungry for the word. There are minds that are receptive. There are minds that are distracted. I pray that every mind will be receptive. Will be just focused on the word. Will be so focused on the word, will just take in the word. Your lips are like the strand of scarlet and your mouth is lovely. Speaks about the confession of your mouth. Speaks about the proclamation of your mouth. What are you speaking these days? Is your lips... and problems, and you're magnifying the problems more than the Lord, that means that your tongue is not subject to the authority of redemption that you have in Jesus. But you need to stand in the covenant blood with God and begin to prophesy your future. You begin to speak out the word of God. Begin to take a stand on the word because you're consecrated, because you belong to the Lord. You need to apply the word upon any situation. Stand in the Lord. Amen. The fifth thing. Would you just lift your hands and pray in the Holy Ghost for a minute, please? Rudala Balaba Shantal Dubakaratan Devi. John, give me a guitar. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We blessed be your name, Father. Blessed be your name. I just wanted to worship the Lord, and just so that the word will just fall into your heart, just to receive the word. Just continue to receive the word. I don't know what you're looking for, but I pray that you're looking to the Lord. I don't know what you want, but I pray that you want the Lord. I don't know what you're expecting, but I pray that your expectation is in the Lord. If you have, He won't disappoint you. Look to Him today. Jesus, you're the name above all names. Lift your hands in worship and worship Him. Name above all, beautiful Savior. Your temples behind your veil are like a piece of pomegranate. That word temple is also translated cheek. And it speaks about it being like a piece of pomegranate. Pomegranate in the Bible is symbolic of life. It speaks about life, and thus the piece is mentioned on the cheek, which meant that there was life abounding in your inward being. And a piece of it showing on your expression on your face. And so you're beautiful, full of life. You look at a man or a woman of God who is walking in the anointing of God, you will see that vessel having just life. Just life, just plain, pure, simple, glorious life. Death is not operating in that vessel. Life is operating. Life is abounding. See, how many of you know that you really enjoy life when you're with the Lord? You just begin to enjoy life when you're with the Lord. How many of you know that when you're in sin, that you don't just seem to enjoy. Nothing just seems to give you an enjoyment. You just feel that as if you're just walking through a shadow, or you're just walking through darkness and bondage. But the minute you understand the realization that if Christ is in you and your life is right with Him, then you find there's an expression of it. Life abounding. I've seen, you know, every time I've just fallen away from God and I've just moved away by myself and just been independent of the Lord and just been spiritual by myself without God, I've seen the life has just stopped. There's no life. How many of you know you cannot walk by past victories? You're going to walk by yesterday's experience. Yesterday was good. You had a great and glorious experience. But today's a fresh day. A fresh day to walk in a fresh anointing. That's why freshly will God anoint you if you'll spend time with Him and have the manifestation of that inward life flowing through. It all speaks about life coming through after your lips are under the authority of the Lord. When your lips are under the authority of God, then understand this, in the power of your lips is the power of life. If you have the lips under the authority of God, when you confess forth the promise of God, you will find there is life. See, you know why I decide my life to be a positive preacher? Because I understood the words that I use has got a direct way of affecting my life and affecting a congregation. I never stand forth and say a problem. Even when you are going through trouble, I just say we're going through trouble, but praise God, God is with us. It's not that because we don't have any single problem. Even when you're going through a real good struggle, I sit there and say, praise God, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. It is not that when you stand there, it's everything good around you, there is complete liberty, and you're saying, praise God, but it's liberty when you're experiencing it. No, when you begin to confess forth what is right, then you will begin to experience what is right. Life will flow when you begin to have a confession of life coming from you. How many of you are with me today, please? Simple things. You know why we need simple things? Because simple things are the real solid things. Some of us want to have some thing that is unbelievably super spiritual, but let me tell you, the real simple things are the ones that will keep you in the Lord. When I started walking with God, there was a temptation to just fall into a lot of new things. There was gifts manifesting, there was prophecies, there was mighty things happening. I said, let me choose just the word. I love the gifts, I enjoy the gifts, I love the Holy Spirit to move through me, but I never do anything based on a gift, I do it on the word. Everything. And then you suddenly begin to find the words that the Lord speaks are spirit and life. John 6 and verse 63. The words that I speak to you are spirit and life. Spirit and life. You want the anointing, the refreshing? Just be there in the simple things. Consecration, prayer, starting the new year. We don't need to do something. You don't need to have an extraordinary revelation from God. The other day I was sitting and praying over the congregation. God said, people have forgotten the basics. It is said that a pastor in America, an average pastor, prays not even 2 minutes a day. I said, Lord, I don't want to be there. What about the congregation then? An average pastor, they took a survey and they were just telling that an average pastor, that's how long he prays. I said, Lord, I don't want to be in that shoes. I said, Holy Spirit, take me in. Simple things. And I was praying over the congregation. God said, some of them are lost on the basics. I need to get into a breakthrough. I need to get into some fruitfulness of that life flowing in out of me. I need to spend at least 2 to 3 hours with the Lord. Just to get that breakthrough. So I can minister forth. How many of you want God's glory on your life? Just make sure that you keep the basics right. Don't look for some extraordinary revelation, but just get your prayer time right. Get that word time right. Get that consecration, just simple, pure, basic consecration unto God. Just say, Lord, like a child here, I'm giving unto you. Like a little baby, don't just be
scared to just wash your teeth? Don't ask your pastor to brush it for you. Do your own cleaning. Amen. Praise God. Just read that word. Just get into that little word and just be there, and God will take you through. Amen. It speaks about a piece of pomegranate. Your neck, I like that. Your neck is like the Tower of David. Whew. Built for an armory on which hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. Your neck, it actually means your neck is upright. It's like a tower. In other words, you're not looking down. It's upright. Are you with me? It's upright. How many of you got upright necks? Upright. You're not looking down. A Tower of David. See, in the Gospel of Luke chapter 13, it speaks about, in the Gospel of Luke chapter 13, it speaks about 10 to 17. It speaks about a woman who came to Jesus in the synagogue. She was a child of Abraham, but she had a problem. She was bent over because Satan had oppressed her life for 18 years and kept her in that condition. And Jesus made her whole and set her free. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Balloons. Anybody wants balloons after the message? Praise God. But look to me. Just get into the message. Praise God. This woman is bent over because an enemy oppressed her, and the Bible says Satan had bound her for 18 years. So the Tower of David, it speaks about your life being upright. It speaks about you're not under enemy's oppression. You don't have the devil on your back. Why? See, I like that order. Your eyes are fixed. Your consecration is right. Your prayer time is right. Your word time is right. Your confession is right. The mouth, it speaks right. It doesn't gossip. It doesn't slander. It doesn't backbite. Your tongue is right. It doesn't speak about problem. It speaks about the promises. When it begins to do that, then you begin to have life flowing on your cheeks. Then you begin to have your neck. It means you're not stiff-necked. It means that you are not oppressed by the enemy, but rather you are looking straight. Are you with me? How many of you want to have that? Your two breasts are like two fawns, twins of a geysel. Breast speaks about the seat of your emotions, your feelings. And two breasts speaks about, remember, in the scripture, you will always find this word faith and love always appropriated together. You need to have the seat of your emotions in love and in faith. See, if you can't be high on faith and low on love, are you with me? Your love for the Lord will be the same strength that you will have in your faith. When I am strong in my love for the Lord, then I have strong faith. How many of you know that there are days when you have consecrated your life right, and you're praying and you're spending time with God, and there comes within you a time where the anointing hits you. You know that you get up, you feel so strong, you feel so much love for the Lord. Your faith is really mighty. You get up and you say, devil, get out of my house, get out of my family, get out of this ministry. You begin to say that when? The seed of your emotions are full of love. If I don't have that kind of love, then I don't have at all a faith, and I cannot stand and say, in the name of Jesus, devil, let go. But when that love and that faith is strong, when my emotions are right at the feet of the Lord, subjected to the glory of God, then things begin to happen forth. Seven things. Remember to keep this in your life. Amen. The Holy Spirit of God Himself will perfect you, and He Himself will bring to completion. But just make sure that you cooperate with Him. Let's stand up in the presence of the Lord.